It is Peter who wrote these blessed words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I greet you in the name of that Jesus I just read about, the Jesus who said, blessed are those that mourn. And today, that includes all of us as we've gathered to reflect. And it's a message for Sister Emma, for the children and the grandchildren, for the uncles and the aunts and the nephews and the nieces, and the cousins and the friends and the customers and all who've come to fill this house. We recognize that we need Jesus, and we're thankful for all the provisions that he has made. Today is a day of reflection. A day like this helps us to take seriously the words of the psalmist who said, who prayed, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yes, today we mourn, but today we also rejoice, and there are good reasons for both. We commit this time to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided for us to bring us together in this special and unusual circumstance. And as we reflect on what you've done and what you're doing, we think about your awesome creative powers and your marvelous redemptive plan. And we thank you for all of that. And we thank you that Jesus has become the answer to the sin problem of the whole world, and that he desires a relationship with us. And we pray that you would bless this service, that wherever we are on the journey of life, that we can respond with heartfelt, life-changing devotion to him. We thank you for each one that has come and each one that will lead out in the singing and in the delivery of the message. May you be honored and glorified in all that we do and say. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So as you may have in front of you the program, we will next be led in congregational hymns by Anthony Miller. I think there are three that he's going to lead. And immediately following that, we'll give the time to Dwight, a son-in-law. Anthony is a grandson. Dwight is a son-in-law to Brother Ollie.
Please turn to song number 89. Holy God, we praise thy name. Song number 89. Grandpa lived his life successfully. The reason he lived it successfully was because he believed in God as the giver of all good things. So part of this service, we want to sing to God in celebration of what he has done for each one of us, and especially for Grandpa.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord,
For God so loved us. The song is originally written in German. So we'll sing the first verse in German, and we'll sing verses 1 through 4 in English. 144, first verse in German.
God is
Worship the King, song number 6.
Yeah.
Truly, we have a God who is worthy of our worship. The song we sang there at the last, "To Worship the King," was based on Psalm 104. And I'd like to look briefly at Psalm 103 this morning or this afternoon. Psalm 103 is a psalm of redemption, a psalm of forgiveness and renewal. And it's about the graciousness of our Lord. Over 40 times, it refers to the Lord. Often it's pronouns of he, him, his, who. It's about our Lord and what he offers to mankind. And it repeatedly brings out mankind's neediness, how frail we are, and of our dependency on God. On Wednesday, Ollie was here with us. It's very lucid, was aware of what was going on. And a few times, that subject of forgiveness came up. I'm not sure, was it three times or so, he just again remarked, if he has mistreated or cheated anyone, he wants to be forgiven. Forgiveness was important to him. And we assured him, from our perspective, we're not aware of anything to be forgiven. He was a generous man. And I think that's why we have so many people here, because he lived a generous life. And then he was asked, are you struggling to forgive anyone? And he thought a bit and shook his head and said, no, he doesn't feel that he holds any unforgiveness towards anyone. And that was a gift to hear him say that. Throughout the day on Wednesday, it was a time of prayer, a time of singing, of scripture, a time of crying, and ongoing Ollie humor. And there was positive interaction that we as a family and several others had with him during those last remaining hours. He was fully aware that the end of his earthly sojourn was at hand, and he was at peace. We see his last day here on Wednesday as a gift to our family, and the way he passed as a gift from God, and we simply say, thank you, God, for that wonderful gift of having that time with him. It was getting towards 6 o'clock in the evening. We knew things were getting closer to an end, and we decided to read a scripture, and Psalm 103 is what was read. And when we started reading, he was at rest, and I would say, from my perspective, he was fully understanding what was happening. When I finished reading the scripture, about within 5 minutes, he was gone. And as I read the scripture, think of the benefits that are listed here that we believe he is experiencing now. The complete forgiveness, the healing, the redemption, the renewal as a youth. And so I invite you to listen as we read this psalm, Psalm 103. And again, it's about our Lord throughout this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May each of us live our lives in such a way that it pleases and blesses our Lord. Shall we pray? Father, again we recognize that you alone are the one worthy of our adoration, our worship, and our praise. Thank you for the life that Ali lived, the influence that he left that was positive, that helped influence others to make right choices in life. We love you. Thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now we will be led in a message here by Brother Laverne Miller, longtime neighbor to Ali and a deacon in the church here. Bless you.
In this time of great loss and mourning, we look to the Lord and to his word for comfort, for support, for guidance, as we celebrate a life lived for the glory of God. You know, in the great heroes of faith, it is written that by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. This was true of Abel many years ago, and I believe it's true of Ollie's life today. I first learned to know Ollie as a neighboring dairy farmer who moved to Kansas from Ohio. He was in his 20s when I was a grade schooler. And so as I've been thinking about this assignment, I've had a lot of questions. How did Ali come to faith? How did he grow in his faith? What were the influences and forces that shaped who Ali became? How did his parental home provide a deep foundation? What about the far-reaching influence of a grade school teacher who helped him find the way of salvation and the importance of taking life seriously? What was his time like in one debut service as an orderly in the surgical unit in the hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio? Or his voluntary service in Red Lake, Ontario, Canada? What about the grief of losing his firstborn son at 5.5 months of age in what we would now identify as sudden infant death syndrome, my namesake. Well, what effect did it have on him to lose his home and its contents in a raging house fire while they were gone? You know, what were the influences that affected him? We don't know what they all were. We know that he could have become bitter at God for these losses. But I believe that Ali understood the redemption that comes through faith in Jesus and how that plays out in life, in loving him who first loved us and loving our neighbors as ourselves. As Dwight mentioned, Ali was concerned about forgiveness on the day he died. He didn't want anything to be left unforgiven between him or anyone else. And I know Ali wouldn't want me to spend a lot of time here today talking about him. And so I want to respect his and the family's wishes in that regard. But my heart is so full of gratitude for my God and neighbor that it's a difficult assignment to comply with those wishes. But I will try. I remember Ali telling the Old Testament story of Joseph in Egypt in a Wednesday evening service. He talked about how that Joseph, who was despised and mistreated, he was sold and abandoned by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was later unjustly accused, then imprisoned. But Joseph saw the hand of God in all this. And I'm just remembering how deeply he entered into that story. He entered into it deeply with deep emotion. Joseph is not in the list of persons distinctly referred to in Scripture as a type of Christ, but I believe that Joseph fully illustrated the life and work of Jesus, our Savior. He saved the lives of those who betrayed and rejected him. Joseph went down into deep humiliation as the way to exaltation. Joseph freely and fully forgave those who wished to put him to death. And, as with the Savior, all needed to come to him for relief or forever perish. The story of Joseph as an abandoned, lonely teenager crying out to his God and standing firm and true in the midst of great youthful temptation is a marvelous example to follow. And I'd like to think just briefly now about the Genesis chapter 45 account of when Joseph was reconciled to his brothers. You see, after this is a long story, and most of you know this story. Joseph, when it came time to reveal himself to his brothers, he told everyone else to get out of the room while he made himself known to his brothers. And he said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down, do not tarry.'" And then he falls upon his brother Benjamin's neck and weeps. and he kisses his brothers, and they weep, and they talk together. Joseph provides for his family. They could come to the land of Goshen to stay with their vast flocks and herds. They could have access to all the food and the water they needed. We could say that he was their savior, keeping them from dying from hunger. And yet years later, after their father Jacob died, the brothers were still worried that somehow Joseph would get even with them. It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they send a message to Joseph. Notice that it was through an intermediary saying, your father gave this command before he died. Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. Now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. I suppose it hurt him that they hadn't really accepted his forgiveness. And he goes on to tell them, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You see, Joseph saw the greater purposes of God, and he forgave his brothers. And I believe that Ollie understood the forgiveness of God. And I believe that he forgave those who may have mocked him and made fun of him in his youth. I'm also remembering about how Ollie spoke about the prophet Daniel. He spoke about Daniel's life with conviction and sincerity. How that Daniel, as a displaced captive, was a young man of conviction and courage. He was willing to stand for what was right. Daniel knew what it was to stand alone. And I believe that Ollie found courage in that example. When the king asked them I'll just read from Daniel 1. This was after Nebuchadnezzar had come to Jerusalem and besieged it and had taken the goods of the temple and the many people captive. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent, to stand in the king's palace to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And so he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor, compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see you in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age, so you would endanger my head? And then Daniel says to the steward, he asked this request of the steward of that the chief had assigned to, test your servants for 10 days, let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Well, you know the story. They were in better shape than those who ate of the king's food and wine, and so they could live with a free conscience. And then there's also the story later in the book of Daniel, in chapter 6, how that Daniel rose to power. And he had an excellent spirit in him. He would, there were those who were jealous of him, and they wanted to find grounds of complaint against him, but they couldn't do it in any way except in how he served his God. And so they come up with this creative plot to trap Daniel. And of course, you know the story, how Daniel went into his house and prayed 3 times a day, just as he always had done. And the And so they were able to trap Daniel. The king couldn't rescue Daniel, but God could. And that story ends by saying, the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. You know, Daniel was a man of conviction, of courage. He was willing to take the high road at the cost or the potential cost of his life. And his exemplary life still speaks to us today. And I believe that Ollie was a disciple of Jesus early in life. And he recognized the importance of careful, consistent discipleship. I believe he followed the words to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." You know, later in the gospel record, Jesus wanted to make sure that his disciples knew who he really was. He told his disciples about his impending death, and he wanted them to understand the importance of daily following him in a self-sacrificial kind of way, rather than to accumulate earthly possessions. It says Jesus in Luke 9, Jesus strictly charged and commanded them, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The cost of discipleship is high. It means laying down our own will, our foolish pride, our selfish ambitions to follow Jesus. Discipleship was important to Ollie. And meaningful discipleship must be expressed in the context of daily living. And often, it's in giving attention to the second greatest commandment, in loving our neighbor as ourself. Ollie was my neighbor, and he blessed me in word and in deed in so many ways. The time will not allow me the luxury of giving all those stories. But I will be forever indebted to him. There was a lawyer who came to Jesus, who put Jesus to the test. And he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And then we have the story of the Good Samaritan that follows to give an example of who a good neighbor is. And Ollie did many Good Samaritan deeds for which I will be eternally grateful, seeing that both for myself, our family, and our neighbors. You know, he served his church and community in many ways, in teaching, in serving on committees, served on the school board for many years. You know, I observed him chairing school board meetings carefully with an even hand, respecting and valuing each person's contribution. We often rode together to those meetings, and I recount some of those impressionable conversations with gratitude. As a CAM mutual aid plan representative for many years, I remember how he stressed the importance of a responsible brotherhood when he would give the annual financial report. Ollie was a good steward. You know, he exemplified the ability to do business well while still remembering the greater priorities of fairness, of generosity, and, interestingly, contentment. A son-in-law brought 1 Timothy 6 to my attention as one of the ways that Ollie lived out his life. And I'd like to read a significant portion of 1 Timothy 6. Think about the issues of being a good steward, being fair, being generous, and being content. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I believe Ollie will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, in this world of self-centered materialism and confusion, we need more men like Ollie. Men graced with humor and quick wit that makes them a joy to be with. Godly, redeemed men who know who they are in Christ and who have been forgiven and want to extend forgiveness to others. Men of courage and strength and conviction that are concerned about the spiritual welfare of those around them. Men who are willing to use their skills and their resources in practical ways for the service of the brotherhood. as the song goes, "Rise up, O men of God, be done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." Like Abel, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Like Joseph, like Daniel, like Paul, men whose faith we want to follow, all following Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, following Jesus as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, and as faithful stewards of the resources, gifts, and abilities that God gives. We rejoice today in the hope and the power of the resurrection that gives us courage to face the future, knowing that our shepherd will walk with us as we take up our cross daily and follow him.
Thank you, Brother Laverne, for those fitting words of a life that we've enjoyed and that we honor for all the good points of his example. And I pray that God would continue to receive the honor and the glory for all the good that has been accomplished. I think it's time for us to change positions. So choose your time, but let's have some congregational hymns.
Please turn to song number 593. And if you want to change your positions, go ahead and stand for this song. Sweetly, Lord, we have heard thee calling. Song number 593. seated. The song is number 676. Amazing Grace, number 676.
Sublime words they are. Grace will lead me home. It's grace that draws us to Christ. It's grace that gives us the strength for the journey, and it's grace that will lead us home. Praise God. This time we'll turn to Leland Troyer to lead us in the obituary and the tribute. The first tribute was written a little over 2 years ago in preparation for Mom and Dad's 60th wedding anniversary by Karen, my sister. The blessing of it is that it was written in time for Dad to hear the tribute. That was the intent of it, not just after they're gone. He didn't like a lot of pomp and circumstance, but it was a fitting thing to have read in his presence, and it's been hanging on the wall in Mom and Dad's house since. 60 years of married life, commitment held them true. They had no clue what life would hold when love was young and new.
Those first few years of wedded bliss saw sadness mixed with joy. Mom's mother's death, and then the loss of Laverne, their baby boy. Dad lost a younger brother, and then a grandpa too. But then Joyce came to grace their home, and hope was born anew. When Joyce was barely walking, they lost their home to flames. God helped them with a house moved in, for little Leland came. Karen and Marjorie were added next, then Wesley and Daryl too. The half dozen children filled their home, and memories made anew. They taught us children the skills they knew. We gardened, put up food. We milked the cows and worked the fields, drove trucks and combines too. We had our share of water fights, just knew Dad wouldn't join. We took cooked meals to harvest fields, had picnics on the lawn. We had the chance to buy our farm in 1979, and on April 4th of that same year, Dad said with pride, "It's mine." We heard Dad whistle as he worked. His patience knew no bounds in teaching us to work the fields and back the equipment round. A steady worker, he planned ahead, and this is the line upon line upon line we'd hear. "No need to hurry, but you must just keep a going, see?" Mom always loved her gardening. She muscled the tiller through. The produce fed our family well and taught us helpful tools. I remember hearing songs of heaven while she was ironing. I was too young to know raw grief and the balm those songs would bring. Many a guest came through our doors. They all were blessed with food. Then stories flowed as all were fed when Dad got going good. Mom was always such a sport when hearing tales again. She laughed along with all the rest, enjoyed the jokes with them. The grandparent stage has fit them well. They've been there for each one. The grandma cookies, the grandpa toys, the gator rides were fun. Mom and Dad, you did so well. Our thanks to you we bring. We knew that God was always first. You gave us roots and wings. So in ad-libbing a little bit, I really can't add. I appreciate the sermon so much today. Let's look to Christ. Dad wanted us to look to him, not to Dad. He wanted to point people to Christ. I heard so much yesterday through the visitation line how he was people's friend. And he had that intent. He didn't want to bring stuff to himself. He didn't want pomp and circumstance. He didn't want the recognition. That's not what this is about. This is about pointing people to Christ. And he wants you to carry on the torch and point people to Christ. That's what he wanted. That's what this has been. This morning we had a wonderful sharing time led by his brother Marvin at Mom and Dad's house there. And so pertinent, so nice. Everything tied. You just know what was said. I mean, it was just the neatest memories, the salvation of Dad when he was young, the life he lived and the purpose he lived it. Is a challenge to all of us just to carry the torch. Oliver E. Ollie Troyer, 86, died April 6, 2021 at Hutchinson Regional Medical Center. He was born May 16, 1935 in Plain City, Ohio to Eli N. and Barbara Borntrager Troyer. Ollie loved his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and was a charter member of Center Amish Mennonite Church, where he remained active throughout his life. Ollie was a dairy farmer for 40 years. He enjoyed welding, working on anything electrical, and genealogy. Ollie loved to visit with people, even strangers, and teasing his grandchildren. On August 16, 1959, he married Emma Miller in Hutchinson. They shared over 62 years of marriage. Ollie is survived by his wife, Emma of Partridge, children, Joyce Buckles, Matt of Vincennes, Indiana, Leland Troyer, Mary of Kennedyville, Maryland, Karen Miller, Dwight of Partridge, Marjorie Miller, Sam of Haven, Wesley Troyer, Stacy of Kennedyville, Maryland, and Daryl Troyer, Teresa of Washington, Indiana. Four brothers, five sisters, 22 grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, son Laverne J., and two brothers. Memorials are suggested for Hands of Christ in care of Elliott Mortuary, 1219 North Main, Hutchinson, Kansas, 67501. In addition, the family would like to thank everyone for supporting us through this time. We feel indebted to your kindness. Please join us in the fellowship hall after the burial for a meal. And those of you who can't make it to the burial are invited to go over and have a meal after things are dismissed here. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Leland. We do appreciate the way that was put together. Karen, well done. And I was also privileged to be with the family this morning to notice the things that came out. The fact that he influenced, as an older brother, so many of his family, his brothers and sisters, to accept the Lord Jesus. And how that family was important to him, the family appreciated that. For me, I was privileged to be one of his employees. When I was still young, I worked for 5 summers for Ollie and Emma. And so he not only was my uncle, but he was my employer and teacher. I didn't grow up on the farm except at Ollie's farm, and enjoyed the many things that he taught me. He was a thorough teacher, a careful teacher, giving instructions that gave me confidence that I wasn't going to be generally surprised with anything. There's only one thing that's the exception. That's the day that he forgot to tell me that some of these old M&M U's would, if it was really hot and the LP gas would build up pressure, that it could, the pop-off valve could blow off in my face. And that day was a memorable day in which I flipped throttle and clutch so quickly and headed for the neighboring field that, then it quit. And I cautiously returned and started it up, and sure enough, we finished the field. But that evening, I told him that something happened. He said, "Oh, I was going to tell you." But that was the exception. He did so well at teaching me what to do before I even started the tractor, and just exactly how to engage the clutch and the brakes and so on, and handle the gear shifts and so on. So I really learned some life lessons from him on not only how to run equipment, but how to train younger lives. A lot of fond memories. I told Ollie on Wednesday that I've always looked up to him, and always have felt like I'm following his big footsteps. Well, we could go on, but because I know all of you have your stories. We all have treasure troves. Well, some more than others, but there is so much that can be said when there's an 86 years of living and service. And so I don't want to act like I know it all. And I also know that it's just wise for us to admit that we all have our shortcomings. It's wonderful that Ollie has exemplified the seeking of forgiveness in our shortcomings. So with that, I want to express for the community and for the church appreciation for all who've donated your time in serving the community. The funeral directors, the Parkers, the ushers, and for sure the food committee. And I'm sure I'm overlooking people that have been behind the scenes here taking care of us these past days, and especially now today. So thank you for serving so well. We've come to the time when we won't need to turn it over to the funeral directors for the final viewing. And as has been said, remember that there is a meal prepared. And so as we exit the place here, there will be a transformation over here, and you're invited to join in on the meal there, as well as whether you go to the cemetery or not. When going to the cemetery, just follow along, and we'll find our parking spot. With that, let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that come when we pause to reflect. And we know that life is full of lessons. We learn from the mistakes, and we learn from the successes. And we pray that you would help, that this service could help us serve you even better. And I pray that you would bless the food that's been prepared, and there have been many donations and willing hands went to work on that. May it give us strength to visit well, fellowship fully, and serve you faithfully. Thank you for the examples that were so positive for Ali in how he served his fellow men. And I pray that you would bless our thoughts as we go further. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Lowell and Larry.
I shall know him, I shall know.